Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, hello and welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel live broadcast and subsequent podcast. Today we are talking winter motivation for ultra runners with the utterly, ultrally awesome coach and physio, Tim Piggott from HP3 Coaching. How are you doing today, Tim?
I'm good, thank you Claire for that introduction. are you getting sort of more and more scripted with your sort of superlatives? Thanks for having me back in, all good.
Every time I change it slightly and I change it and I try to make you laugh, this will make Tim laugh or blush or something like that, because you are utterly, ultrally awesome and we all really appreciate you coming on.
Very, very kind of you to say so.
Solving our problems every month. So it's fantastic to have you back. I was stalking you on Instagram, as I am wont to do with all podcast guests, and I see that 3 weeks ago you said that you are doing the Chianti Castles 100K in March in Italy. So indeed. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that race. How have you decided upon that one?
Yeah, so that's the sort of first main goal for the season. I've got I'm doing a half marathon in January and a marathon in February as a bit of a warm-up. The sort of slightly crazy thing is doing that as a bit of kind of speed work. It's a bit of an odd thing to say, really, doing a marathon maybe as a bit of a speed session. But yeah, sort of getting out of my comfort zone and doing some shorter distance racing. Certainly the half marathon is going to be way out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was looking for a sort of early season race. The next one after that is Lavaredo, again going back out there, but I was looking for something that sort of 100k distance. Chianti, it's a relatively new race, so I think it's only been going for about 5 or 6 years, and they've been adding longer distances to it, so I think they've only done the 100k maybe a couple of times now. And I was chatting to somebody else I know who's raced over there in the past, Joe Meek, who's another very good ultra runner.
Yes, I know her.
She was raving about it. So yeah, I thought I'd put that in there.
Awesome.
It's got some good elevation, but it's quite runnable. Mm-hmm. I think I was sort of realizing I am very much more your trail runner rather than very technical sky mountain fell runner type person. Uh-huh. So the less technical terrain certainly will suit me better. So yeah, we'll see how that one goes.
Oh, awesome. Well, I had a quick look at the video and it looks amazing because I thought Chianti, is that like where the wine comes from?
Yes.
And yeah, so
yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is. So
yeah.
Will your prize at the end, like will everybody get a medal and like a little bottle of wine?
And a bottle of wine. Well, that's it. So I've managed to slightly extend my stay out there by a couple of days. So I've certainly got the day after the race to sample the local produce. And randomly I was out doing my sort of long run on Pendle Hill here in Lancashire at the weekend and bumped into another runner and was just chatting away and mentioned that I was doing this race. And he'd actually been over there cycling. So he was telling me all about the area that and how wonderful it was. So he was raving about it. So yeah, looking forward to doing that one.
Cool.
And there's a few of us from the coaching team doing it, from my team and also a colleague of mine, Doug from TMR Coaching. So another colleague of mine, and he's got a whole bunch of his athletes. So we're having a bit of a kind of HP3 versus TMR. see how we do.
Bit of
a battle between us. Yeah.
Awesome. You'll have to have a dance off as well at the end. That'll be brilliant.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
See if you've got any energy. Cool. So you'll be needing lots of winter motivation to get you training for that race. And I've got the Arc of Attrition coming up in January, just right at the end of January. So we'll talk about winter motivation in just a moment. But before we start, I need to do a shout out to the sponsors of this episode, which is Soar Running. Again, I'm wearing the windbreaker that I was talking about last time. So Soar are a high-end brand of trail and road running apparel. They use the most eco-friendly manufacturing processes that they can find to make top quality gear that should last you a really long time, which is also really important for sustainability. So you can find out more about that in my chat with their founder. I'll link to it up here and also in the podcast show notes and the film description below. It's also with a person called Tim, the founder, but he's called Tim Saw, not the Tim that you see next to me just here. And one of my favourite items, I'm each time I do this, I listen to loads of podcasts, and if the adverts are the same each time, I just completely switch off when I skip. So I'm trying to make it a little bit different, change things up for everybody. But if you're listening on the podcast, I'm holding up a pair of leggings that I've just run in. I've just been for a run in these leggings, and they're from Saw, and I really, really like them. They're a bit black, so you can't really tell what they look like from here. But they've got all these little different areas of little sort of rubber stamp beading stuff on them. If I just hold it in the right light, you can see it there, and that makes them stick to you, like, not in a bad way, in a good way. So they're really, really nice leggings. They dry so quickly. They've got a really nice big pocket that you can actually get even this big phone. I've got like a normal big phone. I can get that in the pocket in the back, and they've got the rubbery stuff down at the bottom as well to keep it on. So it's a bit like a blend of the cycling designs. You know, they have that silicone around the leg area to keep them up, but they've got it all over the back here. And I thought that would be really uncomfortable, but actually it's not. It's really nice. So that's my favourite Soar item of the week for you there, the Soar running leggings. I've never worn a pair of Spanx before, but I feel like this might be like Spanx. Like, I just imagine that's how they might feel. They just feel wonderfully held and supported, all my muscles in these leggings. And the other great thing about Soar is if you're not satisfied after running after 100 miles in a Soar garment, you can return it for a credit note for up to the full volume of that item. So you can find another thing that suits you better or fits you better. So you can't really go wrong with an investment in Soar. So now to our other Tim. Tim, for winter motivation, Coach Tim. So I just thought we'd go through why motivation can dip in winter in the first place, like based on your personal experiences and your clients at HP3 Coaching. What do you find as the main causes of a lack of motivation at this time of year for trail and ultra runners?
So, I mean, it can be multifaceted, really. Obviously, this time of year for us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're going to the depths of winter. And some of us just want to go into hibernation mode. We're just bears. And you just want to curl up by the fire and not go out into the nasty weather. So I think, you know, there is an element of that, you know, seasonally we're programmed to be just chilling out this time of year and not maybe going out into the elements. But I think, you know, modern life is different to that. So it's more around the fact that a lot of your goals are going to be quite a way off in the distance. Now, OK, I know you've got the Arc of Attrition coming up, and I've mentioned some build up races. But again, that's where those build up races. So, you know, if your main events are later in the spring, so maybe it's a spring marathon when you're just starting to think, oh, I really should be getting cracking with my training plan. But, you know, even London and Manchester and, you know, Brighton marathons, if that's what you're targeting, or later on into kind of May, June, July, those are where your main events are going to be. You know, a lot of your listeners are going to be things like the Lakeland 100, Lakeland 50, you know, that style of, you know, summer big event. You know, that's a long way off. So you kind of think, well, it's a long way off. I don't really need to be doing a lot of training yet. Whereas actually you probably do. in terms of laying those foundations, getting into a good routine. You don't need to be doing a lot of volume, but certainly working on some of your weaknesses, for example. So that's where having some B and even C races. So races is just training events. So as I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast today, you know, I've got a half marathon to do in January and then a marathon in February. You know, those are not key events for me. They are just stepping stones on that longer journey. But it's a reason to get out there and do some of those harder workouts, that speed work now in the winter, because it's for those shorter distance races, which are then laying the foundations for the main events later on in the year. If you go back and listen to some of the chats that you and I have done on goal setting, and you're thinking about, right, I've set my big goals for later in the year, but what are the processes that we need to work on? So then you break down those bigger goals and you think, well, I need to work on whether it's some drills and skills, whether it's some speed work, whether it's climbing, maybe it's getting into the gym and doing some strength and conditioning. Maybe you've had a few niggles over the last season or two and you want to spend some time really addressing that and laying those solid foundations. So the motivation is then born out of addressing those process goals, because all of those process goals will then build and build and build, and they then turn into your outcome goals, your event goals, whatever they might be.
Yeah, I've got a comment actually from Hannah, who she's watching live as well, but she did put a comment earlier as well, and she said it's definitely the worst time of year for her. Dark, mm-hmm. wet mornings when you need to fit in a run before work. And she says having a spring goal definitely helps me. So she's listening live as well. And she says she's feeling hibernation mode definitely at the moment. But having a dog helps her get out, especially now he's old enough to run with her.
Yeah.
So that could really help, couldn't it? You're forced to get out every day, aren't you, with a dog? That's why I don't want to get one.
Yeah, they're good, absolutely good training partners. And it doesn't even need to be a dog, you know, it could be teaming up with other people as well. Then you make a commitment, it's like, right, come on, we're going to meet up on whatever day, and you get your training done. So, you know, that's it.
Yeah, or your children. I've seen on your Instagram, you've taken your kids on the bike. Both kids on the bikes and you're running along behind them as a nice family run. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, you just have to make it work. The children need to burn off exercise as well, burn off energy with some exercise, so you can just kind of tie it in together. Yeah. But in terms of that sort of that motivation, I think it's about, you know, understanding the why. So it goes back to the goal setting that we talked about previously. So, you know, if you need some help with goal setting, I'm sure Claire can put a link to those somewhere.
I'll put the
pointing
links
randomly
below. They're all the resources that everything we talk about will be below in the film description below or the podcast show notes.
You're a YouTube expert. So, yes, below. Yeah. But, you know, we talked about understanding the why. So, you know, why have you set that goal? And if you really understand your why, that will get you through the how of how to achieve it. And that will then be maybe getting out there into the bad weather and challenging yourself in those environments. And I suppose on that topic of, you know, dealing with the bad weather, I've got a blog post coming out later in the week with Supernatural Fuel on, you know, dealing with that challenging conditions and the challenging weather. And, you know, people like yourself who've got a winter ultra to do, or, you know, others who are doing maybe sort of more early spring races, you know, the risk is you're going to be out there in bad weather. So you've got to get used to it. You've got to learn whether that waterproof jacket really is waterproof.
I have a sore one. I'm sure that it will be waterproof.
There you go. But, you know, you need to go and test it, and you need to test it in those environments. So, you know, the bad weather can be, you know, some good type 2 fun. at times. Yeah.
And
so,
you feel really smug afterwards. I always think, I think if it's raining, I make things easy for myself. I just sort of, I lay all my clothes out prior, like the night before that I know that I'm going training. Like this morning, I laid all my clothes out because I knew I was going to run down with Finley on the scooter to nursery, do an errand, run down to nursery, and then I was going to do a run on my way home and then carry the scooter back home. So you just be a bit organised like that. But also, if it's really horrible out, you just think, I'll just go and do my run, and then I'm coming back to the nice warm. Like, I'm going to have a shower, I'm going to have some more food. It really isn't that hard. It's like, it's different if you're on a multi-day event and you're camping or something. But here in the Western world, life isn't that harsh. Like, we just come home, have a nice shower, and everything's fine again. Nice cup of tea. I also use music. I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I often, what I like to do to motivate myself is to find podcasts of the race. It helps if it's one of the more famous races, because you don't get many podcasts of less famous races. Mm-hmm. But like the Arc of Attrition, there's been some podcasts about that. The Lincoln 50, there was loads about that. So I was going up and down that small hill called Gamekeepers near where I live, up and down, and I was just listening to podcasts, and I was calling my sister, I was calling my best friend, I was calling my mum and dad. Hi, I'm just on a run. I use that. And I also use the thought of, how will I feel tomorrow if I don't do this now? Like, it's really tempting not to, but if I don't get my act together and do it now, then how am I going to feel about that tomorrow? I feel a bit rubbish. So I try to sort of forward think, and that makes me go out.
Yeah, it's having that accountability with yourself and maybe with other people. So, you know, for you in your position, you know, you've got your supporters, your followers. And it's that, you know, how am I going to explain how I didn't or why I didn't train for this event?
Yeah. And also, I quite like it. I like getting out. I was wondering how you personally stay motivated, Tim, like, because you seem really motivated as a person. I mean, you're a coach and you're motivating other people at all times. But do you ever have times when you have to sort of, you know, try and force yourself out?
Absolutely. We all go through that. You know, we all go through those periods where it's like, oh, do I really have to do that run? You know, I had a 14-hour working day yesterday. You know, alarm went off at 6:20 this morning to get my run done, and it's like, oh, do I really have to?
Oh no, you've done that already.
If I don't do it, And it's like, well, if I don't do it now, it's not going to get done. If it doesn't get done, then it just has that knock-on effect. So, you know, you get yourself out of bed and do it. You know, for me, it was a case of getting on the treadmill and doing a session on the treadmill. So motivation for that is finding some good Netflix series to watch, or, you know, things like that. Those long runs, it is about, you know, finding some podcasts or some audiobooks. When motivation maybe starts to dip, you think, right, you know, let's go and do one of my favourite routes. And it might be a case of jumping the car and just, you know, drive 20 minutes up the road and go and run somewhere different. You know, I've got a couple of routes which are my sort of fire up motivation, you know, rekindle the sort of love of running for when, yeah, things are just getting a bit monotonous. And it's a case of, yeah, I kind of save those for, you know, they're my favourite routes, but I save them for when I really need a bit of a motivation boost, because they are just stunning routes to go and do. So maybe having, you know, some of those, because otherwise you end up just doing the same routes week in, week out, you know, from your house, maybe in so many different ways you can mix it up.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a case of just jumping in the car for 10, 15, 20 minutes to go and run somewhere a bit different.
Yeah, I do like that idea.
Mix it up that one.
I use the same hill over and over again, and I feel quite like friendly with the hill. I'm like, oh, I quite like to go and see the hill. But then if you do that too often, maybe, yeah, change the hill up a bit. So like we've got Bradgate Park just north of Leicester, about an hour's drive. That's a bit longer than 20 minutes, but I could do that on a weekend and do that hill instead. I like the idea of just driving like 10 minutes up the road, or cycling. You can even cycle. That's a bit more of a faff with the bike shoes and helmet and everything. But you feel virtuous, don't you, not using the car for being green?
Indeed. Or there's just, you know, just different games you can play. So again, I occasionally I'll give my athletes a run called Coin of Destiny, which I picked up from another coach called Hal Davies, who's more he's known for sort of triathlon and that kind of multi-sport stuff. I'm sure it was him that taught me this kind of years and years ago. But it's where you literally stand by your front door and you flip a coin.
Oh, okay.
Heads go right, tails go left. Run to the next junction, flip a coin. And you just keep going. Just make sure you got maybe a couple of gels and your phone with you in case you end up somewhere completely random.
But
you end up maybe discovering routes and paths and, you know, little sections that you never knew existed.
That's a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was living up in the Northeast, I discovered a nature reserve just around the corner from my house that I didn't even know existed.
Wow.
Just, you know, doing games like that. Or, again, I'll sometimes go to a, you know, small forest area and just do that in the trails there. And you just end up running in lots of random different directions. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes you come to a dead end. You have to turn around and go back again. But it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah. Makes it seem like an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's it, is just have more adventures. You know, don't see some of those long runs as training sessions, see them as adventures and sightseeing.
Yeah.
So again, you know, another one I give people is what I call the Shinrin Yoko. That's the, you know, switch off, don't listen to music, you know, put your watch in your back pocket, you're not paying attention to pace or zones or anything. Just go and run for the love of running.
Mm, yeah. I quite like doing that, like going to, I kind of see it as a bit like my territory, like my running territory, and I've got certain runs that I'll do, and I'm like, oh, where do I feel like going today? Like, I haven't tossed a coin or anything, but I just, oh, I feel like going that way this time and seeing what it's like over there, like how the seasons have changed it, how muddy is it, like what trees have fallen down now. Can I get through that path there that's usually full of nettles because now it's winter and maybe I can get through now? There's other things that open up to you in the winter that are just too overgrown in the summer around here.
That's it. Just kind of, I wonder where that signpost takes you to, that footpath goes to.
Yeah.
Just go into boring.
I've always wanted to know where that goes. Why do I never plan a route round Uffington, for example?
Yeah. Or again, you know, obviously there are, you know, various apps that will create routes for you, whether it is just, you know, on Strava or on Garmin, Komoot, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's plenty of other ones out there. So you can just ask them to create random routes based off sort of heat map profiles. And maybe again through that you just discover some different routes and some different paths that you hadn't found before.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you mentioned apps actually, because I found out about a new app the other day called Scamper. I was on a call with the Green Runners. I've just joined the Green Runners. I've got to do my pledge at some point. But they were talking about an app called Scamper. And this, I've just got it now on my phone. I haven't used it yet, but because I've only done one run since I got ill, which we'll get onto in a minute. But this brings up loads of runs nearby to your house. Because the idea is that they're going to start doing like virtual races and things like that, and it's just an idea to get people running really locally and exploring locally rather than getting in the car, which is what so there's this one around the River Welland, which is really near me, and you just click on it and it's got a map there. I'm not sure, I haven't investigated it further, but I'm going to have a look at this because it seems like a really nice motivating way to discover your local area in a really safe way. And then in saying that, I've just remembered, like, if you've got a train station near you, you could always run down to the train station, hop on the train for one stop, and then run back. Like, that's quite a nice motivational way of making an adventure as well. A bit more expensive, but it's nice to do these little adventures. I always recommend getting the train there and running back, because otherwise you have to kind of take extra layers in the winter to keep warm on the way back.
And you're smelling the train.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about missing the train or anything like that, especially with all the strikes going on at the moment. And equally with buses, you could get a bus somewhere. So that's
That's it. You know, it's having those adventures and some of those point to point, you know, running home is quite a good thing. So, you know, we'll maybe go out with the family for the day, you know, go somewhere up in the Dales or something like that. And then I'll run home afterwards.
Yeah.
You've got to get home. You get your long run done. But it's, a bit more of an adventure because you're then maybe starting your run somewhere a bit different.
Yes, exactly. Or you could, like, I was thinking of taking Finley to junior park run on a Sunday.
Yes.
I was thinking of running two park run, doing the little park run with him, and Steve, obviously. He's not going to drive there on his own. And having a cake and a coffee and a family day out and going to the playground and then coming back in the car all together. Or if I had the energy, I could run home as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So, like, doing stuff like that can motivate people, I think, like making things a little bit different, a bit more exciting.
Exactly.
You mentioned getting out early in the morning, which I thought was very impressive of you this morning after your 14-hour day. What about after work? You know, like I used to work in an office where I'd be sat there like 9 till 5:30, massive presenteeism throughout that office. And just, like, you've got to sit in your chair all day, which I hated. And then you have to come home in the car, and you get home and it's dark and it's cold and it's wet. Have you got any advice for how to motivate yourself to turn yourself on at that point and rev yourself up to go for a run? Because so often I just find that I just wanted to just have some food and sit in front of the telly.
Yeah. So it's about that preparation, planning a preparation in advance. So making sure you're having a mid-afternoon snack of some description, so you actually, when you leave work, you've actually got some energy.
Yeah,
otherwise, you know, you've had your lunch at 12, 1 o'clock, you're leaving work, you're getting home, and actually, you know, you're hungry, you haven't eaten in 4 or 5 hours or maybe longer. And then, yeah, it is a case of, yeah, I just want my dinner. So having that afternoon snack to see you through to the end of working day. And then if it is a case of, as soon as you get home, you're then just feeling like, oh, I should be doing stuff at home. Maybe it's doing stuff for the family, or there's always jobs to be doing at home. Or, yes, whether it is just a case of, I'm back in the house, it's warm, it's cozy, do I really want to turn around and go back out again? Well, don't put yourself in that position. Either do you run literally from work and then head home?
Or
is it a case of you can break up your commute and stop off somewhere on your way home, so you don't actually go all the way home? So obviously you've got to take all your stuff with you, but that might be another option. So I was just thinking about ways that you can counter that feeling of, as soon as you get in the house, if you have that sensation that as soon as you're home, you don't really want to turn around and go back out again.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, recognize that. So then find a way to not be in that position. If there's no other way to do it, maybe you just need to get home and you need to take the dog out or something like that, or just have all your running kit ready. So it's not a case you need to get home and then you need to go and rummage in the drawers and find everything. So just like you said about having everything laid out the night before, is do that. So as soon as you get in the house, there's your running kit ready. There's your drink, your gel, whatever you need to be taking with you. And you're out the door and you get the job done. So there's no time to pause and then think, oh, do I really want to be doing this?
Yeah. I know Ben Mouncey, who works for Sports Shoes now, he says that he's a stingy northerner, so he just makes sure his heating doesn't come on at the time that he gets home. So he comes home to a really cold house and gets changed really quickly and just runs out the door. Mm-hmm. And then by the time he's come back, then the heating starts to come on, so then he's all cozy and warm. So he does that on purpose, and it saves him money.
That's a good idea. I like it.
Yeah. There was another thing as well that I just thought of. I can't remember it now. The other thing that I often advise people to do this, but I've never actually done this myself, is put post-its around the house with your whys written on. I know you mentioned the whys earlier. So you can, like, get some nice fun post-its and put all the reasons why, and then just stick them around your house in really weird areas, like maybe like on the back of the door of the loo, because you come home and you probably go to the loo, wouldn't you? So you just put something on there that's really motivational, like I want to do 50 miles or you know, something like that, or
little prompts just to remind you of your why, and that's the reason why you need to get out there and do that training session. So that could help with your motivation for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's also things like Zwift, isn't there? You could get on the bike and watch telly in the night. That is still good cardio, isn't it? And if you're, especially if you're doing a base training, which we talked about last time that we did the podcast, you could get on the bike and do some Zwifting.
Yes, I do a lot of indoor training, it's got to be said. I've got my garage set up with a treadmill and Zwift and so on and so forth. And yeah, maybe I'm just a soft southerner, so living in the northwest, bad weather, and it's easy just to go in the garage.
But you've again, also got the kids as well, so if Louise needs to pop out anywhere, you're kind of like still there.
Exactly. Or again, working, and the kids are then in bed, so again, that's when I do a lot of my training, is kids go to bed and then it's me in the garage getting it done that way.
Using that technology
can be very helpful, absolutely. You've still got to be confident and competent being in that bad weather, because when we're racing, we could end up being in very poor conditions, so you can't avoid it all the time.
Yeah, but it's just like a see you through. And you did mention strength work earlier, but and you mentioned like focusing on weaknesses and things, which Tadeusz on the live chat says he's doing at the moment. He says he's working on a muscle imbalance at the moment in his back. So he's not running at the moment. He's just working on this muscle imbalance. It sounds like a really good time to be doing that kind of thing, doesn't it? Strength work. How important is that still in winter? And how do you motivate yourself for strength work? It's like so many runners have a problem with that, don't they?
It's appreciating the importance, but it's finding the way that's going to entertain you, that it's going to be enjoyable in some way, shape or form. So if going to a gym is just not your cup of tea, then it's finding another way to incorporate some strength resistance work into your program. And that can be home-based. Again, it might be a case of having a few items of equipment at home, some kettlebells or some dumbbells, but you can be improvising. You can be using other sort of household objects, fill up some big heavy bottles of water, jerry cans, that kind of stuff. You fill up a rucksack with extra load and do some resistance work using that. So there's ways around it. Maybe it's doing some additional balance and stability, mobility work, a yoga program or some kind of mobility routine. There's plenty of options out there in terms of apps or YouTube videos, etc. Again, it might be some Pilates or something like that. So again, just working on some different areas. But the exercise that's going to work is the one that gets done. Mm-hmm. So it's about what's going to interest you, what's going to motivate you. Yeah. But understanding the importance of it, that's going to give you the motivation. So when I finish this call, I'll be heading to the gym because I need to be working on my weaknesses, my needs there.
Yeah. And it does seem like something that you could do inside in winter, isn't it?
Which
is quite nice. Like if it's really horrible outside and you're like, oh, I really don't want to go outside and do that run. I feel like I'm okay in my race. I've got the skills, but I just really don't fancy it tonight. You could just pop the telly on, get a YouTube video. I've got a few. I'll link to some workout videos. And you've got a whole, we'll link to this as well, Tim. You've got a load of training plans as well, haven't you? From Training Peaks. You've got you've got strength work on there. Lots of different areas of the body targeted on there. So you could buy one of Tim's training plans from Training Peaks and do that as well. And I think sometimes buying something also gives you the motivation, don't you think? Like, you know, like if you've bought a gym membership, you're like, I've got to go. If you buy one of Tim's training plans, you might feel like, oh, I must do that, rather than on YouTube, everything's free, isn't it?
It gives that a little bit of accountability that, you know, you've made an investment in yourself. So you want to actually carry through that investment and follow it through. So absolutely, you know, that's where a training plan can be helpful. It gives you that structure and that reason for why you're doing a session on any particular day. So absolutely, any plan is better than no plan. You said something there that just triggered a thought, and it's just gone again.
Buying a training plan and doing strength work in front of the telly or doing it on YouTube, and it would be a good thing to do indoors. And
oh, that was training plans, yes, everyone. Indoors. So again, you know, as runners, obviously the primary exercise we want to be doing is running. But maybe if you haven't got a running event for quite some time, then it's looking at some other cross training activities. So, you know, when we look at ultra running, we look at, you know, what are the elites doing in the trail and ultra world. A lot of their winter is spent doing other things. You know, if we use maybe the goat, Hillian, you know, what's he doing over the winter? Climbing and skiing. We look at, you know, Francois, we look at Jim Walmsley. And, you know, how did he do so well at UTMB this year? He spent his winter doing ski mountaineering. So it's looking at maybe there's some other activities you can be doing for a few months over the winter, which is still fitness, but it's not running related.
Yeah.
Maybe challenge yourself in a different way. So maybe it's getting on the bike, whether it's doing some spin classes at the gym, you mentioned doing some Zwift stuff, maybe doing road riding, mountain biking, gravel riding. I've also entered the Dirty Reaver, so the gravel ride up in Kildon, Northumberland.
Oh, cool.
So doing that in the springtime as well, to again give me that motivation to, this is why I need to do some decent bike sessions over the winter. Yes, it's cross training for the running, so I don't end up doing more running than I really need to, but also some good cross training. Maybe want to jump on the indoor rower, the erg, and do some, you know, some erg concept 2 type sessions. So there's other workouts you could be doing.
Yeah, and like climbing as well. You could go rock climbing, that's indoors. Yeah,
go and do some bouldering.
And you don't even need a partner if they've got a bouldering section to the wall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be really fun. Yeah, I used to do a lot of climbing before kids.
Yes. when you had time.
Yeah, when I had more time and more money.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got this idea to put like a load of climbing holds on the side of the house, but I don't think Steve's that into that.
I did it on the inside of the garage, so the kids could climb up the wall.
Yeah.
And up into the ceiling as well.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was my thought too, but I don't know if it will pass muster. And so are there times in the winter where even if you've got, like, say, a January race and you just feel really, really rubbish, like you're really tired or you're really unmotivated, are there times when you should just listen to yourself and go, oh, I'll let myself off this one? Like, are there times when you can do that, or should you just beat yourself with a stick?
So you've got to understand, you know, this thing about the fatigue side of things. So why are you feeling that way? Is there a good reason for it? You know, are your energy levels too low? Are you recovering from your training and from life? So you need to learn how to monitor that. And there's different ways that we can monitor it. Obviously, simply recording how you feel. So when you wake up in the morning, how much energy do you feel you've had? How much sleep have you had that night? You could be taking your resting heart rate and monitoring what your resting heart rate is when you wake up. You can take it to the next level and monitor your heart rate variability, HRV. So what the gap is in between your heartbeats. And that's an even better way of monitoring your stress and your recovery. There's a lot of other wearable tech, so things like your Garmin watches, your Whoops, your Aura rings, things like that. And unfortunately, all the research that's been done show, you know, looking at some of the the statuses that things like your whoops and your aura rings give you in terms of recovery and readiness is essentially a load of rubbish.
Oh.
So don't pay attention to what it's telling you in terms of your readiness score or whatever language the apps want to call it, is look at the raw data in terms of what your HRV is and what your resting heart rate is. That's what stands up to scientific scrutiny, not this algorithm that the different companies have come up with. So unfortunately, that's not good enough yet to be accurately usable if you're an athlete that's taking things even vaguely seriously.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so it is learning to recognize those recovery scores. And if your heart rate's elevated, your HRV's off, whether it's high or low, showing that you're not recovered, you're feeling under the weather, then yeah, listen to your body, take that rest day. Don't try and push on through and then run the risk of getting really sick or injured and then end up missing, you know, a week or more of training because you've dug yourself a hole. You know, first rule of holes is when you find yourself in one, stop digging. So if you find yourself in a bit of a hole, stop, chill, climb back out again, and then you can start to rebuild from there.
Ah, okay. That's really, really useful information. And like that brings me on to, I said to everyone that we would also cover illnesses in the section, because the main thing about winter, isn't it, that you're going to get a cold at some point, probably.
Like, yep.
There's COVID coming back out. There's actual flu as well, which I got last winter. And I did the Kendall. My training was going really, really well. I did 3 weeks of like really good training, was really enjoying it. I was doing all the like the hill repeats and the everything. I was doing my weights. I was doing everything. I felt great. Then I went to Kendall Mountain Festival. I did 10K, very hilly, very drizzly and rainy. Really loved it. Felt good on the race, felt really strong, like really enjoyed it. Was able to run up that first hill all the way for the first time in my life. And I consider that brilliant. I'm like the heaviest I've been in my life and yet like bizarrely the fittest at the same time. It's really strange.
It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just had a baby. It just hasn't all come off yet. And also I just like to eat cake. Then after that, I took Finley for a bike ride and I carried him. I did a mountain bike ride with him in the trailer. Now he weighs like 15 kilograms and the trailer weighs like 15 kilograms. So I was biking with this 15 kilogram. That was on the Monday. And then on the Tuesday, I was just absolutely knackered. I had to actually just give myself a day off work and everything. I'd been working all weekend at the festival, so I thought I'll give myself one day off, that's fine. And I ended up sleeping for half the day and then binge watching The Good Wife, which was excellent. But then that weekend I came down with a big cold and then I couldn't train for the whole of last week either. So I've just done my first run again today, feeling great again. But I just thought, last time I had a cold, I sort of pushed through it. It was coming on. I could feel it coming on. And I was like, no, I'll just still do a run. Oh, it's not here yet. I'll still do a run. And then after it had sort of gone, I sort of got back into it really quickly as well. And then I ended up DNFing that race. The Manx Mountain Marathon. So I thought, nope, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just going to ease right off. And I did some more sleeping. I did some good napping in the day. Work, it was very difficult to get the same volume of work done. But sometimes you just have to have days off, don't you? I think when you work for yourself, it's difficult to take days off because no one else is going to do that work and you just don't get paid. That's the long and the short of it. So it's difficult to take days off. But I took those days off, had some more sleep, and now I'm feeling better. But that was 2 weeks out of my schedule. I'm trying not to panic about that because the Arc of Attrition is on the 27th of January. It's happened so far back, and I did have 3 weeks of really good training. So now this week, I'm going to have an easy week, just see how it's going. Then a little bit harder, and then a hard week, and then an easy week. I'm just trying to think, like, what do you say to people around illness? Like, is it ever okay to run with a cold? Because I used to think, oh, it's okay to run with a little cold, but actually you'll probably just recover a lot quicker if you just completely stop or just walk.
It all sits on a bit of a spectrum, doesn't it, in terms of how severe it is. Obviously us men suffer far, far more with colds and flu.
Hashtag not all
and
men.
Flu. So, I mean, there is the rule, obviously, if it's above the neck, you're okay. If it's below the neck, you've really got to stop
Yeah.
But you've got to listen to your body, and that's where maybe again monitoring what your waking heart rate is, monitoring what your HRV is can show whether you really are under a lot of stress, physiological stress, and therefore need to rest, or whether it is okay to carry on at a much reduced intensity. So it might be that you can just do some very easy work, but knock on the head any intervals, any tempo, threshold, anything like that, and just do nice, easy, just drop the volume down, keep ticking over.
So not high intensity stuff.
Yeah, or maybe again, if you're under the weather, you're not looking to then stress your heart and lungs, but you could be doing some additional yoga, some additional mobility, that type of work. So there's always things you can be doing, unless you really are very ill and really feeling under the weather. And, you know, again, if you've got a temperature or anything like that, you've got to stop and you've got to let your body do its thing, and it will get you better.
Yeah. And but is it okay to take 2 weeks off, kind of thing? Because this has been like a good 2 weeks for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where it comes down to not digging a hole. So if you're starting to come down with something, don't just push on through, because then you run the risk of that actually turning into something more major and then needing 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off or whatever it might be.
I didn't even realise I was digging any hole. I just I got to Tuesday and I was like, oh, I'm dead now.
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly.
feel so, like I had a cold at that point. I was just really tired.
But you'd obviously depleted yourself.
Yeah, you know, and maybe in terms that's of the where the cold came.
And that's where, you know, the immune system's taken a hit. So it's looking after your immune system and making sure that you're keeping that in a good, healthy state. So the big rocks for that one are going to be, you know, good sleep and good nutrition.
Good sleep.
which are certainly going to be a challenge for some people and, you know, at certain stages of life, of course. It's thinking about, obviously, us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're not going to see the sun again until probably May. So where are you getting your vitamin D from? My little light's just died. those on the podcast, it's not a problem. You're not looking at anything.
That's a coincidence, because you just mentioned vitamin D in sunlight.
Yeah, and my light's just gone out. Yeah. That's it. So, you know, are you taking a vitamin D supplement yet? And if you're not, you really should be. You know, any time between sort of November and March in the Northern Hemisphere, we really should be taking some additional vitamin D. And there's some debate in the literature regarding exactly how much you should be taking. The government's recommending guidelines of, I think, 400 IU, so international units. But a lot of the recommendations for athletes are a lot more than that.
Okay.
So, you know, that might be something you need to be looking at. The way you're monitoring that is through a blood test. So you would need to be talking to your GP regarding whether you need a blood test to assess what your vitamin D levels are.
I hadn't even considered that. Everyone says about iron, don't they, to help with fatigue, especially in women, it can be a big thing. But I hadn't really thought about vitamin D.
Vitamin D is a massive one. Massively important.
Yeah.
There's every now and again there's conversations regarding, you know, should we be adding vitamin D just into even into the water supply, as it were, like they did with fluoride and that kind of stuff. And it never goes anywhere, that conversation. But, you know, that's a crucial thing to be adding into the mix.
Oh, okay. I'll have a look into that. It sounds like we need to do another podcast episode about the vitamin D. Like, what supplements should we be adding to our water supply?
Well, I wouldn't be saying that we need to be adding, vitamin D or anything else. But, you know, there's certain, you know, I think in the terms of vitamins, you know, vitamin D is one that just does stand up to repeated scientific scrutiny. The debate is just regarding how much you really need. If we go back sort of 5 years, there was a call for really quite high doses of vitamin D. But that's getting sort of brought down and down. We don't necessarily need as much as we thought we did maybe sort of 5 years ago, but certainly in athletes you might be taking a fair bit more than just the normal average population recommended amount. Maybe I need to have a chat with a nutritionist about that one, and I'll defer to their expertise.
Maybe I should get a nutritionist on to talk about that one.
I can get maybe our nutritionist to come and have a chat with you.
That would be awesome. We could do one of those like in January or something. We do have a question not on the lines of motivation, but which will help somebody with the motivation. It's from a patron. Is it okay to answer something quickly about somebody's knee?
Go on then. Let's see what the question is.
Yeah, I just need to unplug my mouse because my keyboard mouse isn't working. Here we go. Let's just make this a bit bigger so we can actually read it. Okay, so it's Peter, and he says his knee has been a bit sore lately. It gets better when he's moving around, so it's not stopping him from actually running, but he's just a bit anxious because he's looking at breaking his ultra duck next year, which I had to look up, and apparently breaking your duck at something is doing your first one. So
okay.
It's like popping his ultra cherry next year.
That must be a cricketing term.
I think it's, it's a golf, is it golfing? Cricketing, something like that.
Alpha duck, that's cricket, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I'm actually doing strength and conditioning twice a week these days, but I'm wondering if there's any particular exercises I should try to incorporate. My worry is a return of the tendonitis or any meniscus or a cartilage injury.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's not one I can really answer without obviously seeing Peter's knee.
Yes, I told him to go and get an expert.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, what exercises you need to do really depends on what the problem is. And obviously what that problem is could be any number of different things. So if it's something that's niggling in the background, the best thing to do is nip that in the bud early. Don't wait until it turns into an injury and you might need to then take time off. Is go and see a physio, go and see a therapist early. Get that assessed and come up with a good plan of action there. But you're obviously doing the right things in terms of incorporating strength and conditioning, you know, keeping yourself mobile, keeping moving. You know, motion is lotion. So keeping moving keeps everything lubricated. And
I love all these little phrases that you have, Tim.
that's not good. So you know, you're obviously doing the right thing, but there's clearly something just niggling in the background that's not quite right. So the best thing to do is obviously go and book yourself in with a physio or appropriate therapist who can then have a look at you and give you some good advice on what you can be doing specifically for you in the gym.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's a great answer for you there, Peter. I hope that makes you feel more confident about dealing with that situation. Cool. I think we've kind of pretty much covered everything about motivation in winter, have we now, Tim? I really like that the heartbeat thing. I feel like that is a really important thing for people to know, that their watches don't necessarily know whether they're ready or not. So that's a really good thing to know. Was there anything else about motivation that you wanted to add to the conversation before we start wrapping up the proceedings?
No, I think the main thing is using that goal setting exercise that we talked about in the past. So again, you know, links to previous shows. Working through that goal setting then gives you that structure for what your season or seasons, you might be doing a multi-season plan. What that then looks like, that then gives you the process goals that you're working through. Those are the stepping stones. And it just means that you can be focusing on just a small block of time. You know, what do I need to be doing this month that will then build on next month's, which will then build on the next thing, which will then build towards my goal in 6, 9, 12, 18 months' time, whatever it might be. So appreciating that means that you understand why you're getting out there today, because how that's then going to help you prepare for something in, like I say, 6, 9 months' time, or whatever it might be.
Yes, yeah. So all about the stepping stones and being motivated for each little stepping stone.
Exactly.
Yeah, keep the motivation up, people. And you can always just put this podcast on again. If you feel a bit unmotivated, then just pop this on, see the lovely smiling faces of me and Tim, and you'll want to go for a run immediately to get away from us. So I'm going to be doing the Arc of Attrition, 50-miler. I am going to be totally clad in sore running gear, so watch out for the video on that. And patrons can actually win some sore kit because they're giving us some prizes in January and February and March this year. So sign up or stay signed up to be in with a chance to win one of these windbreakers that I'm wearing now, or a pair of these tights that I told you about earlier on in the session. So if you're listening on the podcast, you won't be able to see, but I am holding up a pair of rather lovely black tights here with SOAR written on them. I've been raving about those, so I just want everybody to know about that. And if you do buy anything from SOAR, remember you've got 100 miles to run in the kit before you can exchange it for a credit note, so that you are guaranteed to find the perfect fit or the perfect garment from you, for you from SOAR. So Yes, that's winter motivation. I feel like also one thing we haven't said is getting a coach is really motivational. So where can we follow you and find out more about HP3 coaching, Tim?
Yeah, so all the usual socials, or really for the coaching side, is mostly the Instagram. So Tim Piggott, HP3, or Team HP3 on Instagram. The website is hp-3.co.uk. So again, you can get in touch with us there if you need any help with training plans or even one-to-one coaching. I'm pretty much fully booked myself, but I've got a couple of assistant coaches and they've got a few spaces left. So if you are looking for some additional support there, then give us a shout and we'll see how we can help you.
Yeah, one-to-one coaching is definitely like a fantastic way forward. I mean, you spend, don't you, on gear, you spend on races, you're happy to, you know, like pay to travel to races, get accommodation for races. But then there's this kind of like, for me anyway, there's this like block against paying more just to like, for training, because you feel like you should just be able to do that. But like, if you have a training plan and you're with a coach, it definitely gives you accountability. It means you know what you're doing, and you don't waste any time, basically. So 100% recommend.
You're just investing in yourself, and you're giving yourself a greater chance of success. You know, if you're paying all this money for the race entries, and let's be honest, the race entries are not cheap these days, and the kit is not cheap these days. You know, running's sadly not a cheap sport. But, you know, so you've got to give yourself a good chance of success. And coaching isn't just for the elites either. You know, we've got plenty of people on the squad who are, you know, trying to break, you know, 5 hours, 4 hours for the marathon. It's not, you know, not just for the super fast. So yeah, absolutely. It's a question of, you know, do you need that help in order to improve your chances of success?
Yeah.
And not just have a DNF against your name.
Yeah, and maximise your own personal potential. I kind of feel like if you've got like a big goal, like 1 year or 1 or 2 years of your life, then you could be really enhanced by coaching just for those 1 or 2 years. Like, it does, just because you get a coach doesn't mean you have to have a coach for your whole life. It's just like an investment for like a year or 2 years. Then you might find you really enjoy it. But if you are struggling, like everybody's struggling at the moment, your training plans, Tim's training plans, are excellent. There's loads on Training Peaks. He's made a selection of Wild Ginger Running ones as well. They're the base training ones from the last chat that we did. So I'll link to those training plans in the film description below. But don't be afraid to just peruse Tim's Training Peaks area on there, because you've got tons of really good training plans. So definitely, if you're fully booked, Tim. Nobody can be coached by you, so they'll have to get it through your training plans on there.
But yeah, I mean, the way that our team works is it is a team. It's not just individual coaches. So we're all working as a team together, a multidisciplinary team.
Awesome.
So you do get a whole package if you come and join our team.
Oh, I want to join immediately. I'm sort of on the cusp, just by chatting to you every month.
Yeah, help you in the background. That's right.
Yeah, help me in the background. Go on, Claire, get it done. Cool.
All.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's been a pleasure to chat to you as always.
All good.
And we'll see you in the new year. Now
yes,
it will be
a good Christmas.
It? We'll have a little
a bit
break.
Scary saying that now.
Yeah, and I'll see you next year.
Yes. All right. See you
have
later.
A lovely
Take
Christmas.
Care.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.